So Hazel Henderson is a longtime SVN member. She's a futurist and an author of 8 books, as well as columns syndicated in 400 newspapers in 27 languages. She created the Ethical Markets TV series, which is shown on PBS stations covering 45 million households, as well as an internet TV channel that now reaches 80 million viewers worldwide, and it may even have grown since we talked last, Hazel. She also created the Calvert Henderson Quality of Life Indicators, and she recently published a new book that I invite you to check out. It's called Ethical Markets, Growing the Green Economy, and it's published by Chelsea Green Publishers. So with that, I'm going to turn the call over to Hazel.
Well, thank you, Aileen. Thanks for setting this up. And it's funny, I was just thinking, my gosh, suddenly media is the talking all the time now about the green economy. So I'm thrilled about that. And I think that the new issue, now that going green has become so popular and almost every magazine, even The Economist has a cover about going green and this is a way to make money and all that. So I think that our challenge now is going to be to make sure that mainstream media gets the story straight, because mainstream media, you know, is still very much controlled by the fossil fuel era and all those big companies, and so it's going to be a matter of how do we do that. And the new series, which we have just put up on the satellite to PBS stations, which is an hour-long special called Growing the Green Economy, we start off in Chicago at the Chicago Climate Exchange and looking at emissions trading, you know, these cap-and-trade systems where carbon now is being traded around the world. It's now a $1 trillion new asset class. And I had always been worried that, you know, the financial community would probably make more money out of trading carbon, and that really I didn't know how much of it would go toward really making the economy more green. So we tackle that issue at the beginning of the show and talk about some of the problems that have come up with carbon trading. You know, that there's all kinds of windfall profits now going to companies, how the carbon trading system in Europe, because of corporate lobbying, they gave out too many carbon credits and crashed the market. Well, they weren't very valuable anymore. And, of course, the other thing is how do you verify these carbon offsets? So what we tried to do in this show is talk about the financing of the green economy and all of these ways it's being financed, including we interview a lot of venture capitalists, and we got really ahead of the whole bubble on biofuels, which is being debated today in the Senate. And my friend Lester Brown was at a hearing in Congress yesterday talking about how biofuels, you know, is really a horrible mistake because it's just putting up food prices around the world, and there's a lot better ways of dealing with it, such as, you know, increasing the efficiency of automobiles. So I think that that's what we're really having to talk about now is with all of the media discussing the green economy, we're going to need to work very much harder to make sure that the real story gets out. So just to recap some of my experiences, as some of you know, I began writing books a long, long time ago, and my Politics of the Solar Age, which is what we're really into now, came out in 1981 and dropped like a stone. Nobody had any idea what I was talking about, although it did win an arcane kind of academic award. Nobody bought the book back there almost 30 years ago. And so I began to realize, you know, that we weren't ever going to be able to get the straight story out about this the need to develop a green economy unless we dealt with commercial media. And so back in 1984, when I was at the University of Florida, I did a TV series which was called Creating Alternative Futures, which was just basically talking heads. I funded it myself. And, you know, we talked about all of these issues, and the strange thing is now that you can watch all of those shows on ethicalmarkets.tv. thanks to Joseph Meredith and IPB Corp, our partners, who provide that platform. And they have re-engineered all of those old tapes, 20 years old, and all of the conversations I had back then with Alvin Toffler John Nesbitt and Gene Houston and Fritjof Capra and Barbara Marx Hubbard and all of my friends back then. We all look 20 years younger, but you can see all of those now on ethicalmarkets.tv. And in 1998, I developed the ethical markets idea, which was really the idea of seeing if you could accelerate the reform of capitalism worldwide. That was my grandiose vision, that the way to do that would be to have a TV show and have it syndicated in as many countries as possible, which would basically showcase all of the best practices, the best entrepreneurs, the cleanest, greenest technologies, and raise the bar for everybody. And so I started with a company in Canada, a new TV channel in Canada, but they couldn't actually raise the money to do that. So I sort of backed off and went about doing the Calvert Henderson Quality of Life Indicators, which I do with the Calvert Group. And we brought the book, the manual of how to do that, out in 2000. And they're updated regularly on the website, calvert-henderson.com, if anyone is interested. The whole idea being we have to get beyond the GDP and that way of scoring the game. And the problem with it, as you all know, is that it completely ignores the environment and it sets the value of human beings at zero. It's an absolutely terrible measure of progress. And yet the mass media, all of those editors, just slavishly pick up those GDP numbers as they come out without any comprehension. And so that's been another little crusade of mine. And some of you may have heard me on Marketplace Radio, where I've been talking about how we fix the GDP and expand it into the kind of quality of life indicators that I did there with Calvert. So anyway, I finally decided in 2003 that I would try to do the Ethical Marketplace show, and we would try to get it onto PBS. And guess what? I collided with the fact that Karl Rove, at that point, had pretty much infiltrated PBS and had put all kinds of Republican operatives on its board. And if you remember back then, they were kicking Bill Moyers off the air. And so we didn't have any hope of being able to go through the front door of PBS. We would have been immediately knocked off by the economic thought police. And so what we had to do was to find a way of doing a stealth uplink to independent through an independent company. And that was how we got onto 45 million households, the most progressive PBS stations. This firm does a lot of independent productions. And the problem there, of course, was that although we got all of those stations to air the show, we didn't have the kind of ad budget that you have to take full-page ads in newspapers and say, watch this neat new series, Ethical Markets. So anyway, I then began to work on the website. And if you go on ethicalmarkets.com, I was absolutely horror-struck this morning when our server went down for about an hour, and I thought, oh, my God, why should this happen to me today? But anyways, back up now. And what I'm doing now is I update that website, ethicalmarkets.com, every day, and I get feeds from all of these different parts of the world, socially responsible investing newsletters from China and India and Latin America and Europe and all over. And so there's a lot of information there. Basically, what I learned about the Internet is that you build traffic by linking. So you'll find if you go on that site, I have an enormous number of links with like-minded organizations, and I'm building them every day. And then just to finish off and turn this over, if you have any questions for me or for Joseph Meredith of IPB, in 2007, the IPB Corporation launched our internet TV channel, www.ethicalmarkets.tv, and it's just been amazing to me to see how the traffic grows on that site. This is a peer-to-peer kind of technology rather than being server-based. And I know a lot of us are really worried because the shift that's going on now where video is going onto the internet and people are leaving mainstream TV by the millions and moving onto the internet. But the problem is that gobs of bandwidth are needed to stream video. And the neat thing about IPB is that they have technology which actually is a much greener and energy-efficient way of moving video across the internet. And so if any of you want to ask Joseph more about that, that's why I asked him to be on the call. So I'll stop there and see who wants to jump in, and let's turn this into a discussion.
Great. Thank you, Hazel. Anyone, just jump in with your questions. This will be a very free-form kind of question and discussion form.
And please say your name before you ask your question.
Hazel, this is Martha Shaw.
Hi, Martha.
Is there something the group you think everybody's involved or interested in media that you think we could rally behind to kind of help what you're doing and expand it?
Well, I think that obviously it's the power of linking, and I think cross-linking our sites. I mean, I must connect with two or three new groups almost every day who are either doing wonderful independent video that we can link our sites and spread the news that way. Like on ethicalmarkets.com, you'll find Big Picture TV, which comes out of Britain, and there are lots of little interviews there. And the reason I love them is because so many of them are interviews of my research advisory board. You know, people like Lester Brown and Amory and Hunter Lovins and all kinds of people. And so I think that this is a very powerful thing we can all do. You know, I've just linked with the Skoll Foundation and their socialedge.org, and they have little one-minute video clips of really inspiring people who are doing wonderful, innovative things to really make a better future for everybody. So I think that that it's all about really how do we cross-link with each other and figure out how to do sort of win-win type things together. I mean, you've been faithfully in this area, Martha, for so many years, doing, you know, incredibly visionary and beautiful work. So, I mean, I'd like to throw it back to you. You know, what do you think?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about how to fund it and how to get sponsors and what kind of sponsor opportunities and how you crisscross, the advertising people. And I know that you struggled for a while trying to sell sponsorships on the show.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, that might be worth a couple of minutes to talk about that. Our original idea when we launched Ethical Markets in 2003 was that maybe there are enough companies now in the cleaner, greener end of the economy that even though most of them have never dipped their toe in the water to do television advertising because, of course, it's so horrendously expensive on mainstream TV, that maybe some of them would be ready to, you know, to try a TV show. And what I did there, basically, I was at the time a member of the Social Investment Forum, and I was on their media committee, and I knew that they were really anxious. You know, my friend Amy Dominey of the Dominey Social 400, she was very much pushing the Social Investment Forum, which is kind of the trade association of all the socially responsible investment managers. And she was saying, gee, we should do an institutional advertising campaign. And my friends at Calvert, you know, Reggie Stanley and the key people at Calvert all thought, gee, that would be really a great idea. And the problem was that it was just too difficult to move that in an institutional way. You know, it would have meant so many meetings and all of this. And then we also had the problem of PBS rules. And PBS rules said that if somebody was sponsoring your show, then you couldn't include them in the content. Okay, fair enough. But of course, if the whole Social Investment Forum had sponsored the show, then I wouldn't have been able to cover any of them. And they were the only ball game in town at the time. So there were all kinds of problems like that. And our positioning in the marketplace was that we would not take advertising from any company that didn't go through all the major screens of the socially responsible investment funds, like Calvert and Dominey and so on. And so we did limit very much the universe of bigger companies that we could even approach. So basically what happened was we had one wonderful company that said, okay, we'll step up to the plate and be the main advertiser, and that was the Men's Warehouse. And it was really unbelievable because we got right down to the wire and asked them to send their, advertisement to PBS. And PBS came back and said, nope, we won't accept it, because the guy who is the chair and founder of the Men's Warehouse appears on the commercial himself and says, that I guarantee it. I'm the founder of the firm. And so we were suddenly left with this huge, $250,000 budget hole. And we had to jump in and fill it out of our own pockets. And we finally realized that we were really a little ahead of ourselves in terms of the ability of smaller, cleaner, greener companies to actually jump in and advertise. So the good news was that we ended up owning all the intellectual property, and this is making it very much easier now with the licensing deals that I'm doing.
This is Alina Espian. I just want to interrupt for 1 second. We had a few people join the call while Hazel was presenting. Would you mind just introduce yourselves and give us your company name really quickly so everyone can know who's joined?
This is Rosita Nunes with New Resource Bank.
Hi. I've heard about you and New Resource Bank.
Yes. We're doing
all right.
Things in the green world.
Good for you.
Did someone else?
Hi, Hazel. This is Richard Landry.
Hi, Richard.
I'm a management consultant. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Anyone else? No. Okay, great. Thank you.
Hazel, I have a question. I don't know how much time you've spent looking at so-called Web 2.0 technology, where the kind of purpose behind it is to help build networks, social networks on the internet of people, like-minded people. And I've been thinking about ways in which socially responsible businesses, green businesses, can use this as a way of extending their own word of mouth, using the internet to extend their own word of mouth, build large customer bases of people who share the same values and are interested in supporting the same kinds of companies.
Yeah, well, this is exactly what I had in mind. You know, that was sort of before the social technology kind of thing sort of hit me. But that's actually what I've been doing. And the whole idea, really, with our website, if you go on ethicalmarkets.com, you can see that I've become really a major aggregator of socially responsible investment providers and, you know, corporate social responsibility news and news of the LOHA sector and all of that. And so I think that that was sort of my intuitive strategy, well, you know, with all the linking, was to exactly to do that. And I do think that that it's very powerful. But, you know, maybe I could ask Joseph, my partner, to tell you something about how he sees that from IPB's point of view.
Certainly. Thanks, April. One of the interesting things I have seen in the movement of socially responsible investing, the green movement, and the globalization of a consensus is that there is one component that was sorely needed but was missing from the equation in this entire movement, and that was the ability to centralize the information and make it accessible at such a low entry point that a consensus could be quickly built amongst the participants, not just for the sake of one company or organization, but for the entire network, and that a technology would be available that would be able to engage everybody in that network, whether they were beginning stages small venture, or whether they were at the pinnacle as one of the beginning members of the entire network and had a message there. And what I quickly concluded years ago when I first got interested in the idea of creating a global network or architecture through a technology was that this was never considered the outset of development in technologies such as cable and satellite. There was no green term amongst the forms of the technologies that really played in the development, construction, and implementation of that technology. So people in different social forms have attempted to engage these technologies like radio, television, satellite. They've been very frustrated by the amount of time, negotiation, and the cost prohibitiveness of using these technologies even on a regional basis. Now, as Abel spoke of, she has some great challenges just with public broadcasting in the United States. Could you imagine the responsibilities for an individual in a social network trying to engage network technology and get the word out with a limited budget?
So this is Elena SVN. We're having a hard time. You're coming in and out on every word.
Okay.
There, that's... sounds a little stronger. Go ahead. Let's try again.
Okay.
Well, that's better, yeah.
Well, much better. Okay.
So when I got involved in developing technologies, the first thing that I committed myself was...
You're still coming in and out, Joseph.
Okay.
I think your connection might be a little bit bad.
How's this?
Try again.
Are you on Skype?
Yeah, I'm on the cell phone. I'm traveling. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. I think
is that any better?
No, it's the connection. It kind of fades in and out on every word.
Yeah, so it's really too hard, Joseph. But, you know, maybe we can just have people contact you.
Or, Joseph, can you call back? Just hang up and call right back, and we'll
see if that will work. Yeah,
I sure could. Let me do that.
Okay.
Yeah, let's try again.
All right.
Bye. Okay.
Meanwhile, any other thoughts from anybody?
Hazel, this is Judy Sager with Broder. I'm a new affiliate member, and I think to follow up on another comment, and I'm not sure, you know, perhaps this is more of a Joseph thing, or it kind of gets to your concern about the bandwidth issues as more and more video goes on the web, but have you looked into or considered things like YouTube and and Facebook and, you know, other...
Well, actually, you know, what we've done with our ITV channel, we have our own version of YouTube. I mean, actually, we're now second only to YouTube, the number of people, except ours is aggregating, you know, a very a special audience. And that's what we were trying to do, you know, is to cut down on the noise so that if you go to our sites and our channel, you know that you're with other clean, green, you know, proponents. You're with socially responsible investors. You know, you're with a real affinity group. Whereas good as YouTube is for people who don't have any other access, you know, this is far more focused and far more of building an affinity group for the green economy than either you know sort of Facebook or YouTube, where you're competing with all of this other stuff.
Hazel,
yeah.
Joseph.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be a little bit better, Joseph.
Is it better?
So while you were gone, Joseph,
yes.
We were talking about the problem of video streaming on the Internet and the colossal bandwidth that the old way of doing it, the server-based way of doing it. So this might be a good opportunity, you know, to explain how the IPB system works to, you know, to actually reduce the amount of bandwidth with the more people that are on the system.
Yes. Well, and can everybody hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yes, that's great.
Okay, good. I apologize for the bad connection there. There are a great many misconceptions based on the information that's being given to the public about the Internet and transmitting information on the Internet. And part of the responsibility for this happening is people that are hearing information about companies such as MySpace and YouTube and Google and Microsoft, and a lot of that information that's being disseminated is okay for general purpose knowledge, but when it comes to actually doing something in the relationship of an organization, having a message to get out and getting it out efficiently, there is that there is actually very little means available and individuals to work with that can do a proficient job of getting information out through the Internet, especially in the area of video. So the individuals in the network of what Hazel and I are working with have very little options, but they don't know that until they go shopping for technologies and find out that it's vastly being misrepresented to what's available to the average organization or individual. So Hazel and I have spent a great deal of time and invested in our relationship to clarify for the sake of not only ourselves and the project, but for everybody else in these social networks about a way to universally get the information out there that will work for most people, whether at an entry level or whether at a high organizational level. And what we came up with was that when I instituted the development of this technology is that it be designed in a way that is cost efficient, that is also efficient in the amount of energy necessary to get it out, because electricity, believe it or not, is one of the key resources that's really being gobbled up by the Internet right now because of the massive amounts of people and information that are using the Internet now. And it's actually going to be one of the predominant power consumers in not only the United States, but in a lot of the other developing countries. So we developed a green platform, so to speak, even before it was coined that way, as a means to transmit information, especially of the nature that Hazel and her associates have amassed throughout the years. So this particular technology from the ground up was designed to efficiently operate and operate in conjunction with this type of subject matter. Totally different than organizations looking to broadcast through radio, television, and satellite. So this is the only technology that I know of that has been designed that way, but we actually went a step further. We went around the world and we looked to see what it was that people wanted to develop the audience. So we transmitted television programs around the world to countries that do not have cable and satellite. And they responded in mass by wholeheartedly accepting our technology because it was one of the few ways that they had to actually get information on the Internet, number one, and number two, the technology transmits videos so much more efficiently that they can actually watch video. So as a result, Hazel has access to people in Romania, Vietnam, the other Baltic states, and including beyond firewalls inside China because of the way this technology was set up and the collaborators that work with myself and the other individuals that were involved in the development of this technology. So the network technology-wise is now moving in the direction of Hazel and her individuals that she's collaborating with in creating a global network of technology with information. And that's the first time that I know of in the world that this has been done at this level. So now we have massive numbers of people who are hungry for information, who now have the information being directed through the technology. And I have done a great deal of oversimplification in this, but in the short time we have, that's the most concise way that I can give it to you. And, of course, we can always fill in the blanks in later discussions and private calls. But I hope that's helped somewhat.
And so, Joseph, as far as I'm trying to thumbnail it, really, the difference is that this is a peer-to-peer sharing technology that many of you may have first seen happen with the Search for Intelligent Life in the Universe, you know, the SETI project, where everybody a peer-to-peer type of a thing where everybody was sharing this this technology, and the more people that go on the system, the lower the bandwidth that is actually used. And so what Joseph and I are planning now is to make our system even greener by having a solar-powered server. And so that's the next thing that we have in the works, because we both feel that the fact that the Internet now is going to be such an enormous gobbler of electricity. I was reading in Wired a couple of months ago, and they said that it would basically, with all this video and the huge server farms, you know, that Google is putting up, you know, where they have a row of cooling towers on the top like it's a nuclear power plant, that the Internet will be using half of all the electricity generated on the planet. So we thought that this technological innovation of the platform was just as important as the message, and the message still being the reform of capitalism worldwide.
Yes, and Hazel so eloquently put the point out that unbeknownst to the vast majority of the world, the mere act of trying to gather information in itself is a big user of energy, and we found the key was that while all their computers are on gathering information, they can also act or opt into acting as a rebroadcasting point because of the power and the unused bandwidth that is available while they're on their computers. So they can do two things. They can look for information, and they can help in the rebroadcasting of the signal rather than building these massive server farms such as Google's doing in an old antiquated model, as advanced as the Internet may seem. And that is what the world has embraced. Our technology is opting into acting in the best interest of the technology and helping to perpetuate it and spread it by acting as peer rebroadcasting points. And we have, at last estimate, I would say approximately 400,000 people at any given time around the world who are doing that by the act of being on our network and watching the content such as Ethical Markets. So we've already greened the Internet in a dramatic way that leaps and bounds above a lot of the models of other broadcast technologies that are on the Internet.
And so where we are now is we have a very thriving partner in Brazil, Mercado Ético, and they're doing a fantastic job. And you can access them through ethicalmarkets.com. You can just click on Mercado Etico, or also on ethicalmarkets.tv. And we are doing, the next one will be in Australia, and it's interesting because there's no public broadcasting system in Australia, and that's why Joseph found that there were so many watches of our internet TV channel in Australia, because they're kind of starved, you know, for good content. So anyway, this has really been such an exciting exploration for me, and we're learning more every day.
Yeah, just for example, and I think I pointed this out to Hazel and tell everybody else, when Hazel was discussing with one of the licensees down in Australia for Ethical Markets, I have the ability to watch numbers on our platform, and I saw a dramatic increase in the number of individuals once the introduction of Ethical Markets was taking place in Australia, of approximately a 20% increase in our total viewers. And you may call that coincidence, but the point is I know people are hungry for information that they're not getting through mainstream media because of the collaboration with media and who is sponsoring that time and the information that media is broadcasting, which is more in line with the standard corporate America.
Yep.
So now they know there is a voice, and this voice is tied to some very formidable organizations who are disseminating the information directly to them with no middleman. And that's the unique thing about what we're working on, is we have eliminated the middleman and allowing the public to disseminate the information and make up their own minds without socially being engineered by corporate sponsors in the mainstream, who are not socially responsible, and that's the difference.
So any other thoughts out there?
This is Judy again. I just had a practical question. So let's suppose, you know, I mean, I work with a number of not-for-profit organizations, and obviously everybody is experimenting or actually maybe even quite far along in you know, putting video content on their websites and getting it out. If groups wanted to migrate to your technology platform, how, as a practical matter, would that work?
Well, they just contact me, and I will put them in touch with Joseph, and we'll go from there.
One of the things I want to preface is that one of the unique characteristics of our partnership is we're very responsive, and we work much quicker than people's past experiences or present habits of other technologies, whether it be cable or satellite. We've eliminated, I would say, probably 9/10 of the bureaucracy and administrative red tape that people have had to go through. And that's one of the unique things, and Hazel and I laugh, is I go from the standpoint of eliminating the speed bumps along the way because time is my commodity, and I know Hazel agrees with me, and that is what we operate by because of our mortality. So I demonstrated to Hazel our technology long before we went to the negotiation phase and contractual and all that, because I had to demonstrate what I knew was possible with her information. And as a result, we, in a very abbreviated amount of time, developed this partnership when it would have probably taken months or years later to even get to the point where we would have been sitting at the table and signing an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage people that in order to accomplish something with media, you have to take that first step and engage, and then we can demonstrate in a very short period of time to help the decision-making process, because we're system thinkers, but we're very pragmatic, and we use the technology to demonstrate it that way.
And so really, well, what we're saying is that anybody out there who has a lot of video that they want to stream and to get to a global audience, that, you know, we're here to help. And the only thing that we say is that our value commitment is to socially responsible companies. In other words, we don't want to deal with companies that don't go through the screens of all of the major socially responsible investment firms, you know, Innovest and Calvert and Domini. And, you know, that we want clean, green technologies. And basically, you know, it's that value commitment and showcasing all of these kind of companies and NGOs and whoever, that's what's going to create this global presence which I had dreamed about, you know, that can raise the bar on how you do capitalism in the 21st century just by nothing more than celebrating all of the best, the very best examples. I mean, just one of the examples that I found in Brazil, you know, I've been teaching at a business school in Brazil for many years, and I found that the Brazilian stock exchange, the Bovespa, is the only stock exchange in the world that has a social electronic board. And it's just like any other electronic board of all of these companies, except these are all of the very best nonprofits and charities working for the public good in Brazil. And they are inviting all of the people who trade on Bovespa to make social investments in these nonprofits. And it is a wonderful, magical thing to see these nonprofits, one after the other, becoming fully funded with their annual budget. Then they drop off the board and others can come on and get funded. Now, those kind of social innovations that tune up the way we do capitalism, that's what we want to propagate all around the world. So, you know, I'm sure that there's many of you on this call who absolutely share that same goal, and we would love to help you and figure out how to get your video up there as well.
Hazel?
Yes.
This is Terry Gibb.
Terry.
I just want to say thank you so much for what you and Joseph have been creating. It is so exciting. When I came on the call, I'm always excited about whatever it is doing, but I had no idea about the larger, you know, ramifications of your doing this.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, I'm still amazed myself.
Yeah, it is really quite amazing. I'm getting sort of a feedback thing, so I'm not sure if anybody else is.
No, I can hear you.
Okay. What I'm just wondering is, as you have created this, I sort of thought I was disappointed about what it meant in terms of not being on public television. And now I see it being much, much more exciting than even public television.
Oh, yeah.
what I'm wondering is, could you take the information that you have and put it concisely to share with other SVN members? And also, could you take the statistics about the impact of internet and or give some data on that that could be shared so we can think about this as a larger community?
Sure. I mean, I'd be happy to do a couple of paragraphs for the SVN newsletter. Would that be okay, Aileen?
Sure. That'd be wonderful.
Okay. Well, Joseph and I can work on that.
That would
Joseph.
Be great.
I mean,
absolutely.
It won't be a big tome, you know, but it'll just very condensed, something that could fit into the newsletter. And then if people want to explore further, they can be in touch with us, you know, individually.
That would be perfect, Hazel.
Sure, be happy to do that.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, Terry, about PBS, you know, because I knew that PBS, when I began Ethical Markets, I knew PBS was kind of the only ball game in town. And then now I realize after putting this last show up there, I thought, hey, I don't really need to do any more programs for PBS, because what's happened now is the series that I've already done and this latest new show, they have been picked up by a company called Films Media Group. And if you go on the web, it's just films.com. And they now have licensed all of my shows for the next 7 years, and they put them out in 10 million catalogs to colleges, libraries, business schools, you know, government and business training programs in North America. And so I'm in the happy position now, you know, of saying not only do I not really need to do any more PBS shows, but I'm just sitting here now and I don't have to do fulfillment out of my garage. You know, we've been laughing, you know, Rosalinda and I, you know, we run this little global multinational out of my garage. And now we don't have to do the fulfillment of DVD orders. They are all done now through Films Media Group. And, you know, we are just, all we have to do now is to get the royalty checks. So it is amazing. I mean, the whole thing has changed. And as you know, the mainstream TV stations and are tearing their hair out. They're losing audience just like newspapers are.
Hazel, could you explain that about the royalties and how that works? If you have your media, how somebody wouldn't pirate it, or how you know, you can get paid?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we did at the very beginning, we had to spend a lot of money with our lawyers here to register our trademarks and bugs and logos and all of those things. I mean, it probably cost $20,000 of legal work to go through the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And, you know, I'm sort of tearing my hair out and thinking, oh, my God, you know. But then, on the other hand, it does mean that you have a lot of protection, and that on the basis of having those trademarks, you then, you know, have you're in a good position to do this kind of licensing thing. If I hadn't done that up front, it would have been very hard to get these kind of deals like the one I've just done with Films Media Group. So, you know, it's worth making that investment. And I'm always conflicted about that because I'm kind of an open source person. And yet, on the other hand, you know, I have made my living for the past 30 years as a writer. And if you write books, you have to have some copyright protection. But I think the whole intellectual property regime now is up for a real rethink, you know, that it's gone crazy. And that, you know, that what Disney just did, you know, to try and extend its patenting, you know, copywriting of Mickey Mouse and all that, it's just disgraceful. And, of course, the worst of all is the WTO TRIPS negotiations, where it actually limited access to drugs for HIV. And I was thrilled that my friends in Brazil decided, no, we're not going to go for that. We're going to make our own generics, and the same as the Indians have done. And so, you know, we would love to live in a totally open source world. And I hope that Linux and all of the open source technologies finally do win the battle, you know, with Microsoft. But at the moment, we're sort of in the middle of all of this. And I felt, well, you know, I'd better go with the old system and protect my my TV programs and all that, just the way I've had to do with my books.
This is Joseph. One of the things I can add also, and Hazel and I have discussed this, for the preservation of individuals and their projects and the monetary value of it, we in the United States are very unique in the fact that we represent and protect things in the United States based on our laws here. Unfortunately, that's not honored by a great deal of the rest of the world, especially in developing countries. And due to their needs for information, they go to great extents to take things sometimes without honoring the laws of the United States, as we well know with Digital Rights Management Act and the whole thing about DVDs being sold in different countries and pirated. But the solution to that is by a collective consensus of organizations to put together something and to give it to the rest of the world in such a way that it really does not have a desire by other people to be copied and reproduced. And the social message of what Hazel and I and people that she's had longstanding relationships are doing qualifies in that area. It cannot be monetized in such a way that it benefits anybody else but those in the organization or those that would want to opt to engage the organization. And however that information is being disseminated to the rest of the world, it really has no monetary benefit to them, so they really don't want to capture it and do anything with it. They can't make money off of it. And that's what I have found in my personal instances has worked very well, because I do business in developing countries, and that has been my way around dealing with that whole dilemma.
So we'll try to get, I'll ask Joseph to explain that a little bit in this piece that we will do for the SBN newsletter.
Great. Hazel, this is Deb Nelson from SVN. And
hi, Deb.
Hello. I just wanted to applaud you for the great work that you've done in showcasing best practices of entrepreneurs who are transforming capitalism.
Oh, thanks.
Along those lines, I wanted to make a quick announcement because I think that you and the other folks on this call would probably have some good suggestions. Recently, SVN launched a new contest called the Imagine What's Next contest. And it's part of our 20-year anniversary celebration. You know, we've honored the 20 ideas that have changed the way the world does business. And now this contest is about identifying, honoring, and promoting the new ideas that will change the way the world does business. And so if anyone on the call has suggestions, you know, of innovative entrepreneurs who are coming up with new initiatives, new organizations, models, that will transform capitalism and change the way the world does business, I encourage you to just direct them to our website, sbn.org. These have to be new ideas, so 5 years or less, or new organizations, new initiatives. They also need to be based, the headquarters need to be based in the States or Canada due to legal reasons. And there are all kinds of prizes for the winners, and media promotion, free membership in SVN, all of that. So anyway, if you have any suggestions or questions, feel free to contact me or Aileen Sweeney or Tina Shabaka at the SVN office.
Okay, great. Any last thoughts from anybody? Okay, well, I just want to thank everybody.
My last thought is the same as I'm just reverberating everybody. I talk to you now and again. I think it's only the gravity of what you've done is just dawning on me slowly, and I just really think you're amazing. And you've been so quiet in a way. And congratulations on everything. And
oh, thank you so much.
You announcing. If you need any help writing up anything about this, let me know, and I think sharing it with the rest of the group is a great idea.
Oh, thanks so much.
Hear, hear.
Extraordinary.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. I mean, you know, being an SVNer for so many years has been such a blessing to me. You know, for so many years, we all felt that we were on our own, and SVN has been one of those wonderful support groups for me, as it has been for so many of us. So thanks, Deb and Aileen.
Thank you, Hazel. We really appreciate you taking the time out to share all this with everyone. And if anyone on the call or if you know of anyone who would like to get more information about what Hazel is doing, Hazel is emailing you the best.
Yes, that's the best thing to do.
Great.
And you can the best email to use is my direct email, which is HHLIBRY. That's short for Hazel Henderson's Library, HHLIBRY at hazelhenderson.com. And you can, from hazelhenderson.com, you can download any of my editorials and articles and look at my picture gallery, which is all the places that I used to go. I don't travel anymore, really, because A, it's too hard on my body, and B, it's much more fun to do everything on the internet. And I do video casts. I used to go to all of these speaking engagements, and now I say, let me do you a live video cast, which I can do from my library. And all you need at your end is a laptop and a screen and a speakerphone. And that's provided by another wonderful little company that I partner with called WebEx. So if anyone wants me to do a video presentation live with interaction, just let us know and we'll do that too.
Wow.
Great. Thank you, Hazel, for that info.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All the best.
Bye.
Take care.
See you in August.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.